Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, today we leave 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and move into chapter 15 and a major change in subjects. And some of you are saying, about time. Seems like you've been talking about spiritual gifts for a long, long time. And that's true, because that is the subject of three chapters. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 all are primarily concerned with the subject of spiritual gifts. So if it seemed like I dealt with it for a long time, you'll have to take that up with the Spirit of God, who gave such a long section in this book to that particular subject. But now we move on, and we move on to the doctrine of the resurrection. And 1 Corinthians 15 is generally known as the great resurrection chapter in God's Word, even as 1 Corinthians 13 is generally known as the great love chapter in God's Word. Chapter 15 is the one we go to get more details about the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead as we can find any place else in the Bible. Now, one question is this: is Paul answering another question from the Corinthians in chapter 15? And the answer is probably, but not certainly. It's not as clear as it is in some of the others. For example, in chapter 7, he says, "Now concerning the things you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman," and so forth. And you find that kind of language in chapter 8, verse 1, and 12, verse 1. And now we find a different word, a shorter introductory word in chapter 15. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." So is this Paul addressing their questions? Is this Paul addressing his own concerns? And it clearly was. You can see that in the body of the chapter. Or is it both? And I rather think that's the right answer, that they did raise some question about the doctrine of the resurrection, but Paul has his own concerns about it. He knows some things, perhaps, about their misunderstanding of the doctrine that they didn't address with their questions, but he needs to address with his answer. Because it is also clear in the body of this chapter that there were some in Corinth who had denied the doctrine of the resurrection, namely that Christians will one day rise bodily from the grave. That's the doctrine of the resurrection, that there is a resurrection of our bodies from the grave. But Paul begins his correction by reviewing the basic gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And because the believer's resurrection is related to Christ's resurrection, he starts with the gospel, because the gospel is the message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? Of course it is. And you probably already know that. And so I pause at this point to welcome you to this Tuesday, May 24 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank you, those of you who help us financially keep teaching on the station, and to appeal to some of you who are not helping us financially to consider doing so. All right, the centrality of the gospel is how Paul begins, and I go back to verse 1 and read actually verses 1, 2, and 3. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that, and then he goes in to a basic and rather condensed version of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he goes on and talks quite a bit more in the next few verses about the resurrection of Christ and the evidences for the resurrection, because that's what he's linking here, the doctrine of our resurrection, that all believers are going to be raised bodily from the grave someday, to the historical account of Christ's resurrection from the dead. They are linked together in a way that cannot be broken. And Paul makes that clear in this passage. If Christ be not raised, then believers will not rise. But if Christ did rise, then believers will rise. They're linked together in an inseparable connection. And so Paul begins this chapter on the resurrection by talking about the gospel and particularly emphasizing the resurrection of Christ. But what he's telling us is that the gospel is what dominated his ministry, and it has his first priority. For I delivered to you, dropping down to verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. And this, it doesn't mean first chronologically, but it means first as a matter of importance, first above all other doctrines. The gospel was Paul's major doctrine, his most important doctrine, the one that he was most concerned about above everything else. He taught a lot of things. You can't accuse Paul of being a one-issue preacher, one-topic preacher. He was certainly not that, but of all the topics he discussed, the one that he was most interested in and he considered to be of the first priority and greatest importance was the gospel. And you see that in all of his writings. I love the Epistle to the Romans, and the first 11 chapters deal with the gospel in greatest detail. So the gospel was his first priority. And he tells us also that this gospel that he delivered to them was delivered to them exactly as he had received it, and that's important. Back to verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. Okay, we know that. We heard you preach it. He's writing to the church at Corinth, to believers who had heard him preach the gospel, which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. There it is. Paul did not deliver the gospel to them out of his own mind, out of his own thoughts. He delivered to them what he had received. That's what the word delivery certainly implies in our English language. When the mailman delivers the mail, he's not delivering something that he has generated. It's not, "Yoo-hoo, folks, I'm bringing the letter that I wrote to you." No, I'm delivering to you the letter that somebody else wrote to you. I'm not the source of the message. I'm simply the delivery boy or the delivery man. I am delivering to you that which I also received. I picked up my mail at the beginning of my route today, and in that truckload of mail that I am delivering today were these particular pieces that are addressed to you. And I'm just simply passing on to you that which I also received. We all understand that in regard to the mailman or to the UPS man or the FedEx man or whatever it is. Well, we need to understand that in relationship to Paul's preaching. Paul emphasizes this in a number of places. I'm the errand boy. I'm the delivery boy. I am a mouthpiece. I am a spokesman. I am a channel. I haven't made up any of this. I didn't generate any of this. It didn't come out of my mind. It didn't come out of my thoughts. It didn't come out of my emotions. It didn't come out of my prejudices, my cultural experience. No, it came from Christ. And that's true of everything that Paul preached. And he makes that clear in the previous chapter that we just finished in chapter 14 in regard to these difficult commands that relate to gender roles in the church. But here he emphasizes it again in regard to the gospel. The gospel is not only the most important doctrine, the gospel is not only the one that Paul gave the greatest priority to, but the gospel is the one that he received from Christ with the instructions to make this the most important. And so Paul could be more accommodating when it came to some doctrines. Now, none of them, nothing that he taught, ought to be disbelieved, disobeyed, set aside, questioned. But some things, if you don't receive them and believe them and practice them exactly as delivered, is not going to affect your eternal destiny, and it probably won't affect the eternal destiny of others that you have influence upon. But if you get the gospel wrong, you are going to lead people to hell. That's why Paul emphasizes that so strongly in Galatians chapter 1. If we or an angel from heaven, now that's hyperbole. He doesn't really mean that there are any angels in heaven, that is holy angels, that are preaching a false gospel to anyone, but it's hyperbole. He uses that kind of language. I think that helps explain that reference to the tongues of angels in 1 Corinthians 13, if we speak with the tongues of men or of angels, that doesn't mean that he's talking about a heavenly language as in addition to earthly languages, as some people have taken that to mean. But I think these examples of similar phraseology show us what that's all about. And here it is again in Galatians chapter 1. If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have previously preached, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be damned. And what I said before, let me say it again. I've got to say it again. It's so important. And so he says it all again, repeating exactly what he just said. Because the gospel is so important, you cannot change that. I have delivered it to you exactly as I have received it, and you must believe it exactly as I have delivered it, because that makes a difference between heaven and hell. And you must proclaim it to others exactly as you have received it from me, because that makes a difference between heaven and hell for others. And so if anybody brings any other gospel, let him be damned. That's strong language, but that's the literal language of Galatians chapter 1. And though Paul doesn't use that language, because here he's not crying out against preachers of a false gospel, he nevertheless emphasizes again how important it is for you to know that the gospel that I preach to you, I received from Christ. I simply have delivered that which I also received. It's Paul's gospel, yes, but it's Christ's gospel, even more importantly. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.